This message is brought to you by Croydon Tabernacle, a part of the Redeemed Christian Church of God. Our mission is reconciling the individual, community, and the nation to God. Be blessed as you listen.
We want to bless God for today. Indeed, the Lord is our shepherd, is our shield, and is our buckler. And it's important that we not only echo this in our hearing, but to always re-echo and let those words continue to be re-echoed in our lives. Praise the Lord. And there's no way we'll do justice to this theme without linking, you know, three different, you know, books of the Bible. Psalm 23, as we know and as we read. John chapter 10, which also clearly explains, you know, the role, the importance of having God as a shepherd. Praise the Lord. The duties, the roles, you know, what it means, of the definition, really, of that word shepherd, you know, you can easily get when you read the book of John chapter 10. Then, of course, there is Ezekiel 34, and that's a bit more defining, a bit more fearsome, because there is telling us about the implications or, you know, what befalls somebody, a shepherd, who refuses to take care of the sheep. Praise the Lord. So it shows and it brings to the fore the importance of the theme that we are looking at today. The Lord, my shepherd. God is our shepherd. The moment that you come into Christ and you willingly surrender unto him, what you should have next, just as the choir sang to us earlier, is be still, and know that I am the Lord. Praise the Lord. Be still. And as a matter of fact, the topic I was going to share initially was on be still, but Lord dropped this in my heart. So this will come ahead of that theme that will come at some point, you know, subsequently. Praise the Lord. Psalm 23 is quite dynamic, and is the dynamism is rooted in the fact that it's applicable at all times to all situations. You know, last week we were looking at a new song, and one of the things I said that God allows certain things to happen, and when they happen, and when you look at those experiences, sometimes it brings out some, you know, definition, some description, some name that you can ascribe to God, even though nobody has ever mentioned that name before. And I made reference specifically to even the songs in our local dialect. Some of those songs, for you to interpret them into English, I don't know whether Google can help you to do that. Because except you experience that, you won't understand. There's one in one dialect, and by the time they brought, identify, you know, the young man that had the inspiration of that song, he said he was involved in an accident. And we know a truck, I don't know the tons of that truck, a big trailer, actually climbed over his two legs. And when these tires, you know, climb over his legs, that the fact that at the end of the day, he was able to stand, to make use of those legs. It was something unimaginable. It was something that you could not fathom how it happened. So he came with that song, and it went viral because it was original. And so likewise, most of these psalms or the songs that we see or we sing from the Bible, they speak to the heart of the matter. They speak to those things that may be affecting you today. There's nothing that is happening today that has not happened before. And if you're a student of Bible, you will realize that indeed several things have happened. So the words are there to encourage us. The words are there to lift our spirit up when we appear to be in a low moment. Those lyrics, those wordings are there to help us to fly above the storm, just like the eagle. So when David came up with this psalm, and this psalm says God is seen as a caring shepherd and a dependable guide. So we must follow God and obey his commands. He is our only hope for eternal life and security. So I don't know the situation that you may be facing or may be facing you. But all I know is that as long as you operate within the ambit of the words of God and within those assurances, those words of affirmation of our beliefs and faith, those words that are revelatory in nature, that are prophetic and are testimonies of what has happened before, as long as you operate and you make confessional statements of those wordings and you allow it to go deep and deeply rooted in your heart, it helps you to behave. It helps you to stay within the four walls of where God has commanded you to be. Praise the Lord. And you know, interestingly, as I mentioned again, the issue of the soul, because the soul lives in the body. We have the body, the soul, and the spirit. And by interaction, God interacts with us through the spirit. Here is a soul in the body that is fighting so many things. Here is the mind as inside the soul that is reacting to so many things based on experiences of life, based on our upbringing, based on the things we've seen happening, based on the economic realities of the day, based on the fact that your mortgage rate is about to go up if it hasn't gone up. Amen. Based on the fact that your utility bills is rising if it hasn't, you know, gone up already. Based on the fact that you don't even know where the next meal will come from. So those are the things that naturally have polluted or affected your mind as part of the soul. And so the body naturally responds in that respect. And when you allow the body to respond to that without listening or depending or acting on the words of God, which comes via the spirit of man interacting with the spirit of God, then you are cut off. So it's important that we allow our mind to be at rest. When you read the words of this Bible that says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." It says, "He make me to lie down in green pastures. He lead me beside the still waters. He restore my soul." Psalm 23. "He lead me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And the reason is because he is with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Verse 5 says, "Thou prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointed my head with oil, my cup run over." And says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Two passages that are found resonating all through the convention, you know, that is ending today. You know, one is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. It says that, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." Then the second one that also resonated all through was Psalm 23, verse 5. Praise the Lord. In all of these things is due to the fact that we regard God as a shepherd. And what does that Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need, all according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. And even in the presence of my enemies, he set up a table. He restores my soul. He leads me beside the still water. There are so many things, if you are to take word for word, that time will not permit us. Because when you lie down in green pasture, something green is synonymous with agric. It shows plenty. It shows abundance. It shows availability. Amen. And he led me beside the still waters. If you've seen still water before, you know what it is to experience peace. It's silent. So you are lying down in green pastures among plenty. At the same time, it's taking you to where there's still water. Where all you need to do is to eat in plenty and be satisfied. And learn to listen, be still for God's voice. Because in that, he not only guards you, he will guide you and he will direct you. So thou shalt hear a word behind you, Isaiah chapter 31, chapter 30, verse 21. And that word will direct you to where you go. And there's no way you will miss the road. Many of us have missed our roads. Many have missed destinies. Many have missed purposes. Because the moment you step away from the ordinance of God, the moment you don't listen before you make the move, there's a high probability that the move may not be in line with God's word. But here we have David, who had a personal experience with God. Somebody God said, this is a man after my own heart. And all the things you can think of in singing, in worshiping, in dancing, in the words, in prayers, even in crying. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Even in crying, he got to Ziklag and he realized that the enemies had come. And he cried. It was when it dawned on him that crying will not solve this matter. Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. And there's so much of connectivity between David and Jesus Christ. I pray that, our teaching department will take us through at some point in the course of our Bible study. Praise the Lord. Because the Bible says in Matthew chapter 1 verse 17, talks about 14 generations between Abraham and David. And from David unto the carrying away unto Babylon, another 14 generations. And from the carrying away unto Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. So you have 14 generations in three different places here. And between David and Christ, you could see number of generations. Yet, you can see the link between the two. To the extent that in Matthew chapter 22 from verse 41, Jesus himself asked the Pharisees, you know, who he was. And somebody said, you are the son of David. And he asked them, he said, how? When David himself said in Psalm 110, that the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool under your teeth. So how come? It's a puzzle. Bible says none of them could answer it. And he left it that way. Praise the Lord. But God is wonderful. God is wonderful. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, Hebrews 13, verse 20 to 21, perhaps now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in you, that which is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to him be glory forever and ever. You could see Hebrews referring to him as a great shepherd and trying to provide a link with that blood of the everlasting covenant. So there's a lot in there, but today is not the time to go into that. But in all of this, the issue is, to what extent have you totally submitted unto God, unto Christ? Because except you know God, except you know Christ, this psalm may not mean anything to you. The Lord is my shepherd may not mean anything to you. The way he meant so much to David, that made him to personify God. David personified God. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. And because he's my shepherd, I shall not want. Any of my needs, any of my wants, I don't need to grow gray hair overnight. Wherever I find myself, I don't need to consider myself in trouble in anywhere. No wonder those Hebrew brothers said, we will not deny our God. Whether you throw us into this fire, it doesn't matter. We will not deny him. Because they know that God himself is their shepherd. Bible says, those that know their God, they will be strong and they will do exploit. So this can only be a statement of affirmation of your belief, of your faith in God, that you can beat your chest irrespective of the situation. A story was told of a woman that was in distress. The baby was crying and it was in the dead of the night. She couldn't even step out. But in the course of that, she made a very simple prayer. And not long after, somebody just tapped on the door. And when she opened, the man said, introduced himself, and said, I was praying, but the Lord instructed me to bring this bottle of milk to this house. And the woman looked at the man, took the milk, went back to God, knelt down, and thanked God. Because the baby was crying, because she ran out of milk at home. And she doesn't know what to do at that time of the day. But here the Lord raised somebody to come specifically to the house and to just deliver that milk at that point. Brethren, God still answers prayers. We've listened to testimonies of our brethren today. For those of us who joined the convention, you listen to testimonies. You were able to listen to what God is capable of doing. We're able to listen to people who have shared their personal experiences of what God did for them. Bible says God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The moment you persevere, the moment you stand still before him, God is ready to do that which belongs to you. A shepherd is somebody who takes care of the sheep, tends, feeds, guides, or herds the sheep. Hallelujah. And that's why God found it convenient to pattern the church leadership model in line with the shepherd model. 1 Peter 5:2. We won't have time to do that. But in all of these things, when you have a mental picture of the herd of sheep, and you have a mental picture of the shepherd, either in front or behind, and you see that shepherd holding like a long stick or a short one, the rod. Praise the Lord. Imagine that shepherd guiding and directing those sheep. It's the role of the shepherd to look for where there is green pasture and lead those sheep for them to feed. It's the role of the shepherd to direct and to lead the pasture to still water where they will not only experience peace, but they will also drink water. It will quench their thirst. And it's also the responsibility of that shepherd. When you find any of the sheep misbehaving, you discipline that sheep. That's one thing we should also take into consideration. So sometimes we go through challenges. We go through problems, and you think God has forgotten you. Sometimes you disobey God. You do something wrong, and God allows certain things to happen to you. David experienced such. He went beyond his boundary, and God dealt with him. So sometimes you disobey. Certain things, as a result of that disobedience, certain things happen to you. It doesn't mean you should run away from God. It's a time that God disciplines. Just like the shepherd would take his rod to discipline. So that rod corrects, and that rod guides. Praise the Lord. So we should be cognizant and conversant with this way, with the role that a shepherd is allowed to bring. Hallelujah. As per the staff, the rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The best way to describe that is what we have in Genesis 48, which we need to read in conjunction with Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20 and 21. Genesis 48, when Joseph took Manasseh and his brother to Jacob to pray to bless them. Hallelujah. But what did Jacob do? Jacob crossed his hands and blessed them. Hebrews 11, 20, 21 says, leaning upon the top of his staff. Your imagination will be wondering, how will this happen? How will somebody cross his two hands, be blessing people, and still find time to lean upon the top of his staff? These are areas of study. The staff represents the word of God, the wisdom of God. Praise the Lord. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. So as sheep, we are expected to obey, to follow the direction, and not to go astray. Because when you go astray, what the shepherd will do is to look for you, bring you back, sometimes use the rod to even knock off the joint or the feet. And you see the shepherd carry. I don't know how many of us have seen that picture before. You've seen the shepherd carrying the sheep. Because at that point, the sheep had been disciplined and was weak. And so the shepherd had to still carry until the sheep is able to regain strength to walk again. So a lot of times you find yourself in a situation that you think this is not good. But check deeply. God may be teaching you a lesson. God may be correcting you. And it's for you to realize that and to take to correction. Praise the Lord. Here we have, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. So you can see the interconnectivity of all of these passages. It says, fear not, I will help you. So as you, David imagined himself walking through the valley of the shadow of death, he says he will fear no evil because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup run over. Hallelujah. So in all of these things, we have seen God as a Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Genesis 22. When God told Abraham that he's made provision for the sacrifice. Hallelujah. And Moses also assured Joshua in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. He says, "And the Lord, he it is that go before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you, neither forsake you." That's assurance from Moses unto Joshua. Hallelujah. We have seen how God restored souls. He says, "He is a Jehovah Rapha, our healer." Exodus 15, 26. Say, "I'm the Lord that healed thee." There are so many things that troubles one's soul, one's mind, one state of mind. But what God brings is restoration. Even the one that doctor has said there's no cure. When God steps in as our shepherd, the whole story changes. The Lord will come through for us in the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter whether it's your to perfect your stay in the country, whether you are trusting God for one special thing or the other. God remains a shepherd. He ensures that peace does not elude us. He's able to prove that is a Jehovah Shalom, a peace. Judges chapter 6 from verse 23 to 24. Here was Gideon, who built an altar before God. Even when the Israelites got to their promised land, they were still faced with enmities. They were still faced with nations that were rising against them. In the midst of this, the Lord raised Gideon and told him, "I am your peace." He protects at Jehovah Shammah, God is with us. He says, "Lo, I'm with you always." Hallelujah. God gives us life. John chapter 10 says, "The enemy, they've come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I've come to give you life and to give in abundance." So irrespective of the weather, of the situation, rain, fire, even when you feel you are not insulated, God is your insulator. When you think you don't have any defense, God will come to defend you. In a case where you think you are not protected, God is around to protect you. May the Lord help us today in the name of Jesus. Shall we rise on our feet? Want us to just close and bow down our heads and bless God for another wonderful day. And in the wordings of Psalm 23, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd." As David personalized God, as he personified God, I want you to also personify God in your own life. Over that challenge, over that storm, over that contrary wind, make that declaration today. First, ask for mercies and says, "God, where I've strayed, where I've taken myself out of your direction, please have mercy upon me. Where I have not trusted you as I should have, where I've placed my trust in flesh, in chariot, and in horses, Lord, please have mercy upon me. I am repented right now, and I've come before your throne of mercy and of grace, and I ask for grace to trust you, irrespective of what the writings on the wall are saying, irrespective of what the doctor's report has said, irrespective of how the world has or have condemned me, irrespective of what I'm going through at this moment, help me to trust you." And go ahead to say, "Father, please be the shepherd of my life. I surrender totally and wholly unto you. Psalm 100 verse 3 says, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Lord, please intervene in my affairs. Intervene in the life of my spouse, my children. Ask God to take care of your needs and your wants. Because as a shepherd, we should not be in any want, of any need. The Lord will be our provider. Say, Jehovah Jireh, please be my provider. Jehovah Shalom, please be my peace. Jehovah Sikenu, please be my righteousness. We have strayed, put my feet back on the path of righteousness. Protect me, Jehovah Shammah. Emmanuel, God is with us. That I fear no evil, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I ask that you please restore my soul, O God. Make me to lie down in green pastures. Lead me beside the still waters. Let me experience your peace, your inner peace. And let me feed in abundance, even in the presence of mine enemies. Anoint my head afresh, O God, and cause my cup to run over. Let goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. And let me continue to dwell in your presence, that indeed I will sing of your praises. Thank you, mighty Father. Glory be to your holy name. Proud Brentford, is anyone here today who hasn't given his or life to Christ at any point in the past? Or you have done so, but you've gone back, you've backslided? And you want to rededicate your life, or you want to give your life to Christ? If there's such person in this auditorium, please, can you just lift your right hand so that we can pray together? You haven't given your life to Christ, or you have done so but backslided, and you want God to be your shepherd, your shield, and your buckler. Thank you, mighty Father. Lord, we praise you. From henceforth, O God, from now onwards, O God, we repent of our disobedience. We repent of our head knowledge. We repent of our self-belief. And we hand over everything unto you. We submit totally unto you, O God, as a body, as a church. By your mercies, O God, we hand over our challenges, individual pains, individual struggle, individual toilings. We hand them over unto you today. Let there be a divine exchange, O God. All of joyful gladness. Let there be a divine exchange today, O God. Grant unto us your peace from above. Grant unto us the fullness of your provisions. That thing that's been a threat to our lives, by the virtue of being a shepherd, Lord, please take over and deal with them your own way. Grant unto us testimonies. Let your name be praised and glorified. Father, we honor you. We bless and we glorify your holy name, for we pray and worship in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless you all. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you were ministered to through this message. If you have any comment on this presentation or would like to contact us, our address is 38 to 40 Parsons Meet, West Croydon, CR03SL. To speak to a member of our team, you can call us on 0208-688-466. Our website address is www.croydontabernacle.org.uk. Thank you and God bless.